Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
We are live here on Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, Inspirational Speaker, and Author, Sean Douglas. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of our listeners who are listening from wherever you are. This show is currently heard in 28 countries with 1,500 weekly listeners. Amazing support for the show. I cannot thank you guys enough. The show is heard in such countries as the U.S., Brazil, Canada, France, Australia, New Zealand, and all the others. So thank you so much to those who are currently listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here we tell the story of why we're doing what we're doing and how we are helping others to transform their own life. Listen to us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time and on the first and third Fridays at the same time at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. On the show, we have impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them. If you have any questions for any of the guests, and is it a legitimate question, we'll get you on the show because this is a live show. So you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. And my guest today is no different. The guy is amazing. The guy is off the charts. You guys are going to love him. So please help me welcome to the show, Matt Aitchison. What is up, buddy?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Dude, I am so pumped. Like, when I wrote up my dream list, I'm not even, like, BSing, dude. I wrote out a dream list. I was like, Tim Ferriss, you know, guys like, you know, John Lee Dumas and you know, Tom Ziegler, Greg Reed, Frank Shankwitz, Bruce Buffer. Like, I'm writing down, like, my dream list, Chuck Norris. And I was like, Matt Aitchison. Like, Matt, yeah, I wrote down Chuck Norris, dude. Why not get Chuck Norris on the show?
Hey, name and Chuck Norris are in the same sentence, that's a win, dude.
Dude, for real. But, dude, I had to have you on the show, man. Because I remember, dude, like you were one of the first people that I ever, like, did a podcast with, man. And I was like, dude, I have to get him on the show. Plus, you're doing super, super awesome things. And you're one of the most genuine, authentic, full-hearted human beings, dude, I've ever met. If there was any way that you could have a full-on man crush with another dude and have it be acceptable, you know, like, dude,
hey, it's acceptable in my book, brother. The feelings are mutual. I am definitely humbled and honored to obviously have that amazing of an intro, to be connected with you, to be on the show, to add value where I can. And I know we're gonna have some fun today, man. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely, dude. So if you're ready, dude, I am so ready to do this.
Born ready.
So Matt Aitchison is a seven-figure real estate investor, millennial wealth mentor, and entrepreneur, speaker, and philanthropist. After graduating from UC Santa Barbara, he founded and participated in many business ventures within the real estate and construction industries. He co-founded and developed the Aitchison and Adams real estate team, which sold 500-plus units and $250+ million in sales volume since its inception 5 years ago. A&A was ranked in the Wall Street Journal top 1,000 for real estate teams nationwide 2 years in a row. Additionally, Matt owns Vault Investment Properties, an investment group that has rehabbed and developed over 150+ properties, along with a thriving real estate rental portfolio. He is passionate about building a wealth through real estate and teaches around the country on various investing strategies to design a life of financial freedom. He is a proud board member of the One Life Fully Lived charity and continues to serve and educate underprivileged communities in the Sacramento region nationwide. Matt is the founder of the Six Figure Flipper REI Mastermind and hosts the Millionaire Mindcast, a top-ranked motivational podcast focused on helping individuals from around the globe grow their wealth while living a life of fulfillment far beyond what dollars can buy. If you want to know more about Matt Aitchison, go to his website, www.matt, Aitchison is AITCHISON, Matt Aitchison, Aitchison.com, and go to Facebook.com/Matty Aitchison and is on Instagram. The dude is not hard to find. He is impacting thousands. So, dude, my first question I always ask is why? Why do you do what you do? Why build that six-figure flipper mastermind? Why have a podcast? Why do you do what you do?
It's a good question, man. I think a lot of people ask that question, and it takes quite a long time to figure it out, right? You know, and
yeah.
You see some people who are like in their zone, in their space, and totally fired up about what they're doing, and they're there. And then there's other people that, you know, have been on that discovery journey for quite some time. And for me, I was fortunate enough to fall into a path and a passion zone that I know what I'm, you know, why I'm doing what I'm doing. And to kind of rewind and put a little context to it, you know, when I was younger, I was driven by money. You know, I was really driven by a lot of ego, I would say, in the sense of I felt like hitting a certain milestone in financial success, in, you know, accolades that was, you know, externally recognized, that that was what success was. And so for me, my why at an early age in my, you know, early teens and early 20s was I just wanted to make as much money as I could. And to me, significance equaled money. And had some awakenings along that journey that really led me to being more service-based. So I shifted significantly from, you know, significance-driven to service-driven. And now that I have, you know, two young daughters, a beautiful wife, that's my why, right? That's the, I don't want to say it's a cliched response to a lot of people, but it's to provide my family with the security, the freedom, and to enjoy, you know, a stress-free life of fun and fulfillment. But on top of that, I've really always had this passion. I consider it one of my superpowers is connection and truly caring about people, genuinely caring about people and wanting them to have that same kind of access to fulfillment and freedom. And so why I do what I do today, besides the fact of, you know, my foundational why is always for my wife and my two girls. On top of that, it's to really impact other people to live a more rich and fulfilling life for themselves. And, you know, I can't necessarily speak on, you know, stocks. I can't speak on, you know, certain areas or industries that I'm not, you know, experienced in. But I can tell you one thing that I confidently can talk on, being that I've, you know, failed my way forward to what many people would, I guess, consider some great success at an early age.
Right.
Is real estate investing and building businesses in the real estate investing space, in the construction space, and just business entrepreneurship in general. I've been, you know, attending conferences and investing conferences since I was in my early, you know, I think the first one I went to, I was like 11 years old. My mom dragged me to a real estate investing seminar. And I remember seeing the people up on that stage and they were showing these big checks and they were talking about this life of financial freedom and all this stuff. And I was like, man, you know, I want that one day. And so I kind of had that bug planted in me at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, fast forward, I actually got expelled from high school. I got arrested in college. And so
wow.
I was actually on a path that was definitely not aligned with the life that I had dreamed of living and the goals that I had told myself I was going to achieve. And I remember when I was, you know, I made that one phone call when you get arrested. And I remember looking around me and going, oh my gosh, that, you know, this is my environment. This
yep.
is my tribe. You know, this is my future.
Yep.
And I remember getting on the phone call with my dad and I was, you know, I was crying like a little sissy. And and I just remember one thing he told me, said, the decision you make today in this moment and moving forward is going to tell me a lot about your character, who you are, and what kind of life you're going to lead moving forward. And I just want you to remember one thing, you know, your past does not have to equal your future. The, you know, if you think about the windshield and the rearview mirror analogy, right? If all you did
yep.
was stare at the rearview mirror and look at everything that's behind you, you would one, lose sight of what's going on in front of you. And this massive vision, this massive opportunity to continue down a new path and take control of where you go and where you steer that car moving forward. It's there for a reason, right? To look at what's behind you and remind you what's behind you so you're aware of that. But at the end of the day, if that's all you focused on, then you'd crash and burn. And so that's always stuck with me. And from that day forward, I committed to this because I was making some very poor decisions on, who I was hanging out with, what I was doing, the substances I was engaging in. And from that point forward, I decided that, what was more important to me? And as hard of a decision as that was, for me, it was, to lead a life that was inspiring, that left people, because I'd done a lot of damage in the earlier years of the people I'd interacted with, to leave people on, in a way that was positive and uplifting and empowering. And so that's been my commitment and my drive over the last, 8 or 9 years that I've kind of been on this professional journey after graduating college at 21. I'm now 29. And that why has continued to evolve and to transform and to grow and to see now some of the impact that it's having on other people. That freaking fires me up. It really does. It fires me up to hear somebody send me a message or to, share a case study or a success story of something I said, one of my guests said, something I did, how I interacted with them, whatever it may be. It could be the littlest of things. And so my why is impact, to be honest. My why is to leave this world, an individual, a relationship, an experience better off because I was there than because I wasn't. And so that's what drives me.
Dude, I love it, man. But, I've seen you speak and I've seen you do the things that you do, man. And it is, you're 100% spot on, dude. I've seen people come up to you like, wow. And as a speaker, man, I think we kind of chase that because it kind of vindicates that what our why is actually practical and it is working. At least for me, it is.
I want people to say that. It's an addicting thing to know. It's a positive addiction, right? Because I've had, some of the alternatives. And for me, it's an amazing, I'm a very extreme person. I'm an all in or an all out kind of person.
Yep, me too.
And so to be all in on something that I know truly has, can make a dent in this world, big or small, right? And that's all subjective, depending on who you're asking and what set of lenses they're looking at it through. But, to be all in on something that makes a true difference fires me up. And that's what gets me, excited to wake up every day. That's what gets me in the office. I was been in the office a couple times this week at 5:30 in the morning, leaving at 8, 9 o'clock at night. Sometimes when I don't necessarily have the motivation to continue doing what I know I need to be doing sometimes, when I tap back into that why and I know why I'm doing it and I'm aligned with that, it makes it a whole hell of a lot easier and it makes it a whole hell of a lot funner.
Absolutely. So can you pinpoint exactly what that transformational moment was? Cause I've been there, dude. Like I've had the cuffs on, I've been sitting in the office like, oh my God, like what did I do?
Right.
You know what I mean? Got suspended so many times from high. My mom would get super, super pissed off. Because I had a tech center when I was in high school. So I did 3 classes in high school, and then I went to like an automotive tech. They have builders. They have machine shops. Like you go and just learn a trade. Well, I chose auto mechanics, but half the time we would just skip it. Me and my buddies would just skip it. We'd go do something stupid. Well, I never realized that my mom would get the letters that says, wow, you didn't even go. I'm like, oh, crap.
You're like, how did she find out about that?
Right? How does she know? So I remember that transformational moment for me. When I was like, man, this life sucks. Like, this is not going the way that I thought it was. What was that transformational moment where you're like, all right, enough is enough?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was that moment in jail. I was facing felony charges, multiple years in jail, and the pain, the fear of that becoming my reality scared me to death. That I ran so far in the opposite direction of that. And whatever that took, whatever that was, I was willing to do it. I was willing to do whatever it took to make it so that I would never end up in that environment again. And, my deepest and darkest pains have become my most beautiful blessings. And,
oh, yeah, man.
a lot of people ask me, you know, do you regret getting expelled from high school? Do you regret this? Do you regret that? And, you know, there's things that I'm not proud of, but I don't regret any of it because it has led me to exactly where I'm at today. It's given me complete paradigm shifts and new perspectives on life. I'm grateful that I had those early on in my life. I'm grateful that they weren't truly life altering things that, you know, prevented me from having these kind of opportunities. But that moment in jail was so scary to me, and what that reality of my future looked like, that I was, I mean, you could have told me to, you know, and for me, it was, I knew exactly what I needed to do. I needed to edit my peer group. I needed to edit my environment. I needed to change, you know, who I was spending my time with, right, and how I was, you know, engaging with myself. There was a lot of work that went into that. And so that moment was the complete, you know, game changer for me. And from there on out, you know, it was, nobody else is driving your bus at the end of the day, right? You know, I can sit here and point fingers or, you know, make excuses, but at the end of the day, I'm the one driving the bus. I'm the one who decides who gets on my bus. I'm the one who decides who gets off the bus. So for me, that was kind of the big wake up call of going, look, you know, I felt like spiritually, you know, my raised Christian, and we weren't, you know, heavy churchgoers or anything like that, but faith was involved in my household. And, you know, I felt like I had been gifted a second opportunity, and there was no way in hell I was going to waste that second opportunity. And not only was I not going to waste it, I was going to maximize it. And so that's why I've gone to the extreme of just, you know, being committed and disciplined to doing what I'm doing right now and to sticking on this path. One, because I love it, and I continue to, you know, knock down new barriers and peel back layers of the onion to myself. But I also see the impact that has by doing what I'm doing, by choosing the extraordinary, by choosing the extraordinary things on a daily basis, and what that means for other people too. And so it would be selfish of me to play a small life and to play a selfish life. So that's that was really the I would say the pivotal moment that was not only eye-opening, but was also course-correcting.
Yeah. I love what you said, that like you started finding that thing that you love and you're doing what you love. So what's been the best part? What sticks out for you that you're like, man, if I could go back and experience this one more time? I think, because I talked to a lot of real estate people, and they're like, oh man, the sale, like when you can, it's the reactions of the people, you know, like if you rehab a house and then you sell it and they're like totally impressed with it, like, oh my God, I love it. Like it's, you know, you bringing value, you know, to people. Sometimes people say it's the sale. When I can make a sale, I just feel so great because I'm providing something that people want. What has been the best part about your journey so far?
You know, for me, it used to be the money related stuff, right? Like, oh my gosh, this six figure check I just got on one flip, this, you know, this rental property that I just bought or whatever it may be. It was, a lot of it was related to monetary achievements. Now it's, I get more fired up when I see, you know, somebody inside my mastermind group make a six figure check, 'cause that's life altering for them. Or I get fired up when I get an email from somebody. I got one from somebody in Germany the other day who listened to the podcast, talking about, you know, potentially committing suicide because of X, Y, and Z.
Wow.
They listened to an episode and they decided that, you know, there's something bigger and better out there for them. And because of one sentence that I had said on the show, it opened up a new possibility of what their life and their future could look like. So the impact, for me is the most, you know, exciting thing. And it's no longer really, the money is what gives me more opportunity and more freedom and more security and a bigger platform to expand my reach. But at the end of the day, it's not necessarily what I chase anymore. Now I chase impact.
Oh, dude, I love that. Chase the impact. Dude, that's awesome. Well, with every bad part is a good part. So we talked about the good part. What's the bad?
The bad in relation to, you know, just some of the stuff.
Like, what's been the worst part? It's like, man, this part really sucked. I think there's always, like, that one rut that you get into along your journey. Because I think the fun part is overcoming it. You're like, man, I'm so stuck, or I'm so screwed, or something didn't go right. Like a deal just kind of went south. You're like, how in the hell? Like, I think 2008, a lot of people reference 2008 as like, that's probably the worst part. But I love hearing about, man, I was here. I was in this bad part after the transformation, after the shift. Right.
Yep.
Because everybody thinks that entrepreneurship is all sunshine and rainbows. And it's really not. Like, there's not going to be, you know, unicorns out there, you know, pooping rainbows out of their butt. You know, it's just not going to happen. So,
you know,
what's the bad part?
You know, there's a lot. I mean, it all depends on the context that we're talking about. Like you said, entrepreneurship, business. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, progress is painful in any capacity of your life, right?
Sure.
Like, comfort and mediocrity is easy. It's easy. You know, it's easy to stay the same. It's easy to play small. The striving for more, there will always be problems and struggles as you continue to push for more in your life or in your business or in your relationship, whatever it may be. You know, change is a scary thing, and it oftentimes exposes areas of our life that it's uncharted territory at the end of the day is what it is, right? I mean, and if you think about it, like, our struggles, they really determine our successes. So depending on how much you're struggling often determines, you know, how high you're going to go and what kind of successes you're going to experience. I mean, our problems, my greatest problems have birthed my greatest happinesses too, you know.
Ooh.
So depending on what it is that we're applying this context over, I mean, I could say, you know, a handful of things have been painful. Every, you know, as I've had seasons of grind in my business, and, you know, I've had many majestic failures, I'll tell you that much. Like, I've failed my way forward to where I'm at today, and I've, you know, failed fast, and I've failed often. But I've responded quickly too. So, you know, the joy is in the climb itself, and that's the hard part, I think, for me and for a lot of individuals that can probably relate is, you know, as we continue to look at the peak. And when we get to the peak and draw a line in the sand of saying, hey, when I get across, you know, this milestone, then I'm going to be happy. If I make this much money, then I'm going to be happy. If I do this, then I'm going to be fulfilled, whatever it may be. And the thing that I've learned is to constantly, you know, you hear the cliched stop and smell the roses. Well, it's true. I mean, the joy is in the climb. The joy is in the summit. The lessons are in the summit. The growth is in the summit, you know? So the most painful part or the biggest challenges for me have just been being present in the climb, because I'm often forecasting and living in the future. And oftentimes I'm robbing myself of the present. And that's been a big challenge.
Yeah. I totally agree with that, man. My wife will tell me, you know, hey, just calm it, like, slow down, you know, cause I'm like, ooh, I gotta do this. I gotta do this. Ooh, I call it like when I speak on stage, I always tell people, I'm like, bear with me as we go through this 35 or 40, however long the talk is. I always let people know how long it is. I said, let's say it's 40 minutes. Like, yeah, just bear with me for the next 40 minutes. I was recently diagnosed with something called ADOS, which is attention deficit. Oh, squirrel. And you get a nice laugh, you know, and I do, man, like I'm so focused on one thing and I'm like, oh, something else catches my attention. Like, they call it the bright, shiny object syndrome. I'm like the reverse Oprah as a content consumer. I'm like the reverse Oprah. Like, I have this. I don't want this. I don't want this. I want this. I'm like, I must have it all, you know? and I'm going in 1,000 different directions, and I constantly am reminded, slow down and just stay in your lane. Cause I'm knocking all the other cars, you know, out of their lanes, you know, like, I want this and I want this. And I'm all over the place sometimes. And it's just something that I totally struggle with is not getting that bright, shiny object syndrome and really accepting the wins and the losses as they come rather than just moving past them all so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's great to, you know, one of the things that I often do is in my journal, I ask myself what my win for the day was, because, you know, I get so focused on what the next things are that I need to accomplish that I don't even give attention to what it is that I actually just checked off, or the ground that I covered over the last week or the last month or the last year. And I mean, you and I were having this conversation before. I mean, to see some of the ground that has been covered over the last year or year and a half since you and I first met. I mean, that is, it's impressive. It's staggering. And how many people don't ever check in to give themselves kudos on the growth that they're experiencing in their life. And then it just becomes this never ending. I mean, we talk about like entrepreneurship and wealth building and all these things are there so we can have freedom and flexibility and get out of the rat race. But at the end of the day, oftentimes if we're not checking in and we're just constantly chasing something over and over and over again, we're really still in the rat race. We're still in the hamster wheel. So, you know, the awareness piece of this has alleviated a lot of my pain, the meditation, the, you know, the mindfulness and the practice behind a lot of that. A lot of things that I, in the beginning as an entrepreneur, especially my programming, as you know, coming from where I came from, the people that I hung around and things that I was always told growing up, you don't act vulnerable. You don't, what, mindfulness, meditation, what the, what are you talking about? What the hell is that? That's woo woo. That's taboo.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Hugging people, handshaking, high fiving, sharing your deepest, darkest secrets, being vulnerable, self-love, all these things that, you know, society and the majority, the masses tell you isn't okay or isn't normal, is often the areas and the places that we should probably be exploring and going much deeper in, on purpose. And so I remember that the number one book that changed my life is probably the most foo-foo girly book. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's because and that's, I say that in a context of the skeptical outsiders looking in.
Right.
I'm 100% bought into this. Of it's called The Gift of Imperfections by Brené Brown. And it's a book that is all about self-love and shame and, you know, really exploring your internal, you know, human spirituality. And that book allowed me to actually get intimate with myself and actually, you know, shed some of these, you know, layers that I have built up, these calluses I've built up over time to be and act and think and feel and, you know, portray myself a certain way, which ultimately just wasn't serving me. And it wasn't, it was making me numb to who I really was. And when I actually read this book and adopted it, and this is an ongoing struggle and battle for me every single day, but when I actually started becoming the organic Matt, the true Matt, the Matt that I knew I was, everything in my life, weirdly enough, started becoming an organic reflection. Every conversation, every relationship, every opportunity, every experience was a reflection of me being me. Not being the person I thought I needed to be or saying the thing I thought I needed to say or all that kind of stuff. It was something that allowed me to really step into who I was. And like I said, this is an ongoing struggle every day. Do I still have ego? Hell yeah, I still have ego. Do I still try and come off a certain way sometimes? Absolutely. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I don't, but I'm going to say my awareness has been enhanced and heightened significantly from where I was before, which gives me more power to address it when it comes and shows up in my life.
I would say that your emotional intelligence has grown significantly.
Oh, massively.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you said something earlier about, you know, I'll be happy when,
right.
I'll be happy with, I call them happiness chasers. There's so many people that man, like they're happiness chasers. I'll be happy when I'm making this much money. I'll be happy when I accomplish this goal. I'll be happy when, and I always tell them when I do my resilience seminars, I always tell them like, man, you got to stop chasing happiness. You need to have it now. Like live happy now, because there's a quote that says that gratitude and happiness are not the same thing, right? You're happy because of the gratitude. You don't get gratitude because of happiness. Like you're happy because you have gratitude. So you have to build that gratitude skill first in order for you to feel fulfilled or happy or what have you. And amazed at how many people don't journal. I wrote my first book off of my journal. Like just my thoughts and feelings and things that I was going through. Like I wrote my first book based off of my journal.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I mean,
needs the journal.
Dude, I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, let alone a month ago. So if you're going to ask me to, you know, tap into how I felt or an experience I had or who I met, you know, a year ago, unless I write it down, it, that I'm not going to remember. So for me, it just continues to strengthen that muscle of awareness. And I continuously try and do that in the areas of my life that I know serve me and or will serve me. Like, I've never been the fastest, strongest, smartest, you know, best looking person. But I'll tell you what, I am damn good at modeling after the people who are farther down the path than I am, who are where I want to be, who I admire, who I want to embody what they, you know, embody, who have the success that I want to have. And then I just put my own, you know, flavor, my own Matt to it.
And your own Matty A.
My own Matty A to it. And that gives me the ability to still keep my, if you think about it, like, we're all just shepherds of information and experiences, right? Like, the same stuff has been around and recycled and regurgitated for years and years, just through different filters and through different experiences and through different people. And so for me, I'm just trying to be the best version of myself every day, the best success story of my teachings and my practices and my philosophies every day. And the people who align with me and the people who really care to want to live that life, I want to be the best version of myself so I can give them that same opportunity as the people have done for me. And the people that don't resonate with me, no worries, no problem, right? But for me, it's always just the aim to be 1% better every day. And having certain disciplines and practices and habits give me more of an opportunity or a platform to make that happen.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast a couple of days ago, and one thing, I don't remember even what the guest name was, I'd have to look it up. But the one thing that they said on the show was that there is no such thing as a what was the word that they used? There's no such thing as a – it was like a thought. It was like everything's already been thought of. You know, I'm trying to think of the word. Man, oh, man, I'm just thinking about this. Okay, so they said something like – like, there's no such thing as a new thought or a
– like an original.
Like an original thought, yeah. There's no such thing as an original thought. Only thing that happens is something that has been someone else's perception or interpretation. That's how it is today. So there's no such thing as an original thought, just someone else's interpretation or perception of thoughts and ideas that are already in existence. And some of the greatest things have been cultivated from someone else's idea, and it's my own perception of how that idea should be carried out. I'm like, holy crap. So they were talking about like there's no just – like everybody rips off everybody. Everybody quotes everybody. Everybody talks about everything. Nobody – like Uber and taxis and you could talk about different department stores. Like, you could take any single thought that has ever happened, like the light bulb. Now we have – you have different types of light bulbs and you have different – like there's so many different things that come from one idea. There's like – there's no such thing as an original thought, just a different way of doing things, just someone else's interpretation, you know, or perception of that idea and how it should be carried out. Like, that blew me away, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
heck,
I completely
yeah.
agree.
Yep. So you mentioned that, you know, you're always chasing – or not even chasing. You're modeling other people or because I always tell people, like, you need to get a mentor, someone who's doing what you want to do, making the money you want to make, living the life that you want to live farther down the road than you. And some of the people that I really look up to, you know, like our buddy Tim Rode, Christopher Lockhead, who I just had on the show, who, oh, my God, blew my mind. Just anytime I can have a conversation with Christopher Lockhead, it's so, so funny.
That's what he does, man.
Right. And some of the other guys that and we talked about this at New Media Summit, you know, podcasting is just a different way for you to enter into the arena of the big dogs. Like, on the show, I've had Greg Reed, Make-A-Wish founder Frank Shankiewicz. You know, I've had Tom Ziegler, you know, Zig Ziglar's son. I would have never had access to those guys had I not had a podcast. I fully believe that. Yeah. But because I do, I can learn from these guys. I can be in kind of the same circles and either whether on Facebook or whatever. And those are the guys that I looked up to. When I wrote my dream list out, I wrote down, I look up to you, man. When I was looking at who I wanted to be on the show, I was like, who do I want on the show? And I wrote out my dream list. And of course, you were on it. I've always said I wanted to flip a house just to see. I watch a lot of HGTV. My wife and I do a lot of projects at home. I'd love to flip a house just one time, just to see if I could have the same success as, like, you know, Armando Montalongo, you know, and like flip this house guys on A&E and you and the other guys who are literally flipping houses for a living. But yeah. Who are your influencers? Who are your biggest people who influence your life?
You know, it's funny that you ask that because it changes all the time, to be honest. It depends on what season of life I'm in. And in my journal, I have a board of directors page. And in that board of directors page, I have basically, you know, my different categories, which is, you know, my friends, family, relationships, spiritual, my contribution, health, nutrition, personal growth, intellectual, lifestyle adventure, you know, stuff like that. And I have probably 2 to 3 people in every single one of those categories that are the individuals that I call my board of directors, the people that I give permission to speak into my life because of how much I align and honor and admire how they live and what kind of principles they embody and what they do and their expertise and their experience and their track record. So it really depends. So I constantly have a moving target and I'm always looking to continue leveling up, you know? So it depends on what category we're talking about, but I can tell you that each and every year I look to add at least one person to one of those categories. So like this last year, Jeff Hoffman, you know, billionaire founder of Priceline, has been a big mentor to me and given me some amazing nuggets that have changed the way I think, the way I act, how I, you know, the trajectory that I'm on. But I look at some of, you know, looking back, I've had so many amazing mentors. And the thing is, you know, honestly, everybody's a mentor to me. You're a mentor to me. The, you know, I got Anthony who's 20 years old and, you know, he's doesn't have a ton of business experience. And yet this kid teaches me new things every single day about media, about a lot of things in life. So I remember having a conversation with Robert Herjavec and I asked him that same question. And he said, one of the greatest pieces of advice I ever got was from my father on his deathbed. And he told me that every single person in this world is a guru in some way, shape, or form, and you can learn something from them, but it's up to you to figure out what that is. And so whether that is, you know, some crazy bum on the street or that's some, you know, highly successful CEO in your town, every single individual can be a mentor to you in some capacity. You have to be open and you have to be willing to check your ego at the door to be able to find something that that person can teach you or that you can learn from. And so it's funny, a few 2 years ago, I was at a Hal Elrod's event and he was had me speaking up on the stage. And one of the questions that he asked me, it led into like my original quote. I was like, I've always wanted to have a quote. Like I've always imagined, you know, one of those memes with my name after it that had a quote.
Yep.
But it kind of ties into this whole thing of I'm a student of life and I'm always looking for my next teacher. And I'm constantly trying to make sure that I am aware enough to know when that person walks into my life. I'm sure we've all heard the, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. There's teachers around us everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so I always want to make sure that I'm as the student, I'm always aware and I'm always ready.
Oh yeah, man. I absolutely agree. I love the fact that you threw in the board of directors in there. That's like, that's one of the things, like I have a signature talk and that's one of the things that I talk about is that board of directors, man. It's so and so incredibly crucial. If every CEO, major CEO, Fortune 500 companies, every CEO has a board of directors. Walmart has a board of directors.
Yep, exactly.
Ford, Chevy, IBM, Microsoft, like all of, like everybody, they have these major, major CEOs have a board of directors. And they talk about last quarter growth, this quarter growth, last quarter sales, this quarter sales, the direction of the company, right? And these CEOs have to go to these board meetings. And these board members control different areas of each aspect of the business. So if that's true for the successful million and billion dollar companies, why in the hell do we not have a board of directors for our life?
Yep.
Why do we not have those areas that are being elevated by those most important people in our life?
Yep. And I'll say this too. I'll add one more layer to this. Just because they're on my board of directors does not mean they're in my inner circle.
Right.
So, what I mean by that is, you know, there's a lot of people that are on my board of directors for entrepreneurship and business and being badasses at making money. But I'll tell you what, they have shitty relationships at home. They barely spend any time with their kids. And so I will never let them be in my inner circle, because to be in my inner circle, you have to embody all of the characteristics and all of the things that I hold as, you know, true quality principles of a well-rounded individual. And this is my own definition of it. So everybody might have something different, but I've defined what my standard is for that. And only those people will be able to be in my inner circle. However, I'll refer to them or learn from them or listen all day long in whatever category or board of director they, you know, they sit in. Mm. But at the end of the day, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are on my inner circle. That's something that is like, you know, a bulletproof safe that only a few people have the code to. And when I set that standard and when I got clear on actually what that standard was, it was empowering, and it felt great to know that only a few people, you know, will ever enter that realm. But at the end of the day, there's, you know, there's brilliance around us in all areas of our life. We just have to keep, you know, keep our awareness up and keep looking for it.
Yep, dude, absolutely, man. So the areas that I talk about in the board of directors, like your wealth and finances, health, personal development, and personal relationships, professional development and professional relationships, and then spiritual, which can be religion or not religion. I look at spiritual as a thought, feeling, or belief that you have that is like your inner spirit, your inner warrior. And that's what I tell people. I'm like, don't get hung up on the spiritual religion, because it's not. It's just a set of beliefs, principles, and values that you have deep in your heart. And that is your moral compass, your, you know, morals and values, you know. And I have 2 to 3 people in each of those 5 areas, because those are the 5 areas that everybody has in common. I have more, like you said, contribution. But those are the 5 areas that everybody always has in common. And I have 2 to 3 people that I look to. I have a speaker coach. I have a business coach. I have somebody in the health world. I have a, you know, a spiritual coach. I didn't even realize until I got into the professional development realm that coaches have coaches. I was like, well, I thought coaches that like you were the, like you were the top dog. You were the man,
right? Apparently, you're like, wait, not, I thought he was at the top. She was at the top of the totem pole. Right. I mean, you look at Michael Phelps. Look at look at Conor McGregor. Look at all of the top performers, all of the gold medalists, all of the highest achievers in the world. They all have coaches, because if you're not looking to grow, then you're digressing. And all of the top performers know that. The second you start thinking or acting or feeling like you know it all, or you've reached your pinnacle, I mean, that's ultimately when you start losing. So yeah, I mean, always got to continue to look up and look forward and continue to expand yourself. Because if you're not, then, you know, ultimately you're doing yourself and the people that look up to you, and who are impacted by you, a disservice.
Yep, absolutely. So you talked about some books earlier. I'd love to know some of the best resources that you found. We had Christopher Locke here. We're talking about Play Bigger, which is an amazing, mind-blowing book. What are some of the resources that you've used during your journey?
You know, I used to hate reading books. I hated it. And to be honest, it's still very hard for me to sit down and physically read a book, because I'm like you, constantly moving forward. And so I do read audiobook wise, probably about 4, I'd say 3 to 4 books a month. And I've had obviously some of my go-to books that I'll always refer back to. But for me, I actually created, I have a couple different lists. So I have, you know, 50 wealth building books, which these are all free downloads too, for any of your listeners that, you know, want those. I got all they have to do is text a certain word, but I got the 50 wealth building books, 25 real estate investing reads. And then I really have, I would say just my top 50, millionaire recommended reads that, you know, I think are just enlightening in all areas of life. But for me, I mean, Think and Grow Rich was really the Think and Grow Rich and Rich Dad Poor Dad were the two books that I read at an early age that just kind of changed my outlook on things. The best audiobook I've ever listened to is Ask Gary Vee, and just because it's unscripted, it's literally unscripted. So like it's, you know, he's not reading his book, he's just flying off the cuff, which sometimes I agree with him, sometimes I don't, but I love his passion, I love his transparency, and you know, I take what I want and leave what I don't. Richest Man in Babylon was a great book that kind of really wrapped my head around things. How to Win Friends and Influence People, I think, was probably one of the first books I was given in like middle school by my mom.
Wow.
And that was the first book that really kind of helped me connect with connection and how to really build rapport and influence and just make that, you know, that one-to-one space a lot smaller in a positive way. So those are some of the ones that, you know, immediately come to mind. But I remember reading T. Harv Eker's, you know, the Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, which was a game changer for me. But the one book that I say is I'm a very nonfiction business entrepreneurship type reader. But my favorite book of all time is still The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. And
I haven't read that one.
Oh, dude, it was complete. It just helped me dream bigger. And it's a parable. So it's, you know, it's kind of a business, entrepreneurship, spiritual type book, but it's just so well written with an awesome storyline behind it. So those are some of the initial ones that, you know, immediately come to mind for me.
Yeah. What I like about the How to Win Friends and Influence People is they have one for the digital age now. So it's How to Win Friends and Influence People in the Digital Age.
Oh, I haven't read that one.
So it's on my shelf. I'm definitely, So The Alchemist by Paulo. Yeah. Okay. It's on my list.
I just put it on my list.
Awesome. I like Dave Ramsey's got a book, Entree Leadership. That's a great book.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, I mean, J.V. Crum. We met J.V. Crum over at New Media Summit, you know, his Conscious Millionaire book. I read it a while back. Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. Definitely a great book. T. Harv Eker's super, super smart.
Probably the best business book I've ever read in regards to like true X's and O's of business has been Traction and The E-Myth. E-Myth by Michael Gerber.
The E-Myth. Yep.
For anybody that's an entrepreneur, right? Oftentimes we think because we're an entrepreneur and we work for ourselves that, you know, we're free and we live this, you know, carefree lifestyle. But at the end of the day, most of us, you know, still own a job. And until we learn how to set up a business and run a business like a business, you're still going to own a job. And why we all get into entrepreneurship usually in the first place is to not own a job, right? Is to have the freedom and flexibility of doing what we want, when we want, with who we want, whenever we want. And the E-Myth is probably one of those most practical breakdowns and explanations of how you can do that.
Yeah, one of the first books, you mentioned something in middle school, one of the first books I ever read, my mom gave it to me, and it's called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale.
Yeah,
and it really, man, dude, like I've recommended that book to everybody, but we didn't grow up, you know, the best way. We didn't, you know, there was some things that we had to overcome, you know, as kids and my mom always did the best she could, but she knew. And there was another book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. I remember she was telling us like, don't sweat the small stuff. Here's this book. But that was my first book on the transformational journey to really live in that positive life. And my uncle's an entrepreneur. My mom's an entrepreneur. My mom in the first 2 years of business had one of the top rated home healthcare businesses in Michigan. First 2 years. It was crazy. She has so much passion. That's where I get it from. My uncle's an entrepreneur. My other aunt's entrepreneurs. My sister's an entrepreneur. I think that when you grow up in that type of atmosphere, it really sets you up for success.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think at the end of the day, environment in general is just such a critical part to anybody's success and or demise.
Yep.
You know,
So where are you headed now, man? We're talking about the environment that we're growing up in. Like, what's your environment right now, man? Like, where are you headed? New adventures, businesses, family? What's on the horizons for you?
You know, for me, it's just continuing to build out and scale my real estate investing community to, you know, give people the tools, the resources, the community and the environment to that choose real estate investing as their wealth building vehicle to go out and actually be successful at it.
Awesome.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, you've heard of the the Fortune Builders and the Armando Montalongos,
yeah,
and some of these large, large organizations that are selling $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 packages. What I'm looking to do and what I am doing is disrupting that entire pricing model. And I'm giving people exactly what those companies are giving them for $500. So I'm going more.
And that's the six-figure flipper, right?
That's the six-figure flipper. And we're coming out with some new things that will be tied into that. But really what the whole purpose behind it is community, and is community that people have the tribe, that they have the environment and the space, obviously coupled with the tools and the education and the resources to go out and do this without, you know, selling your life savings. And, you know, I think about it. It's like, you look at all of these companies and they have scammer reports for days. Well, no crap. They have scammer reports because you just paid your entire, you know, 401k that you worked 30 years in corporate America for, or that you have all of your life savings into, and you may not get the results you want. So I'm going more with the Sam Walton model, where I want people to have as much access to this information. And it's probably, I mean, the stuff that they're getting is stuff that can go out there and make them $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $100,000 a flip or an investment property. But at the end of the day, I would much rather way over deliver on value and give it to them for half the price, because I want to make a dent in the world. I'm not chasing the money. The money's awesome that it comes. But I remember Jeff Hoffman, I was sitting across from him at dinner, and one of the things he said was, don't chase money, chase excellence. And the more people that you provide the opportunity to tap into their own excellence, the more it's going to benefit you anyways, and the money will come. So for me, I'm really looking and moving forward with disrupting this whole insanely priced real estate investing model that's out there, and giving people access to it for a low price, and creating an army of success stories around the world for people who are creating wealth through real estate investing without having to spend 10, 20, 30, 40, even $1,000. You know, it really is something that I just passionately want to give people the same tools and resources and environment, and going back to the tribe and the community that has brought my life so much joy, so opened up so many doors, and really has given me a platform to do what I get to do today.
I love it. You know, when I heard Jeff Hoffman back in Philly at the One Life conference, you know, he was saying that he's like, you chase excellence, man, and the money will come. And it brought me back to a story when I was an MTI. So I was a drill instructor in basic training, and I was always trying to get these tests that we had to do and the inspections that we had in the military for basic training. They had to do a certain amount of drill movements, and their beds had to be made a certain way. But you get inspected by the higher ups. We call them blue ropes. Those are like the top 10% of the instructor corps. They were like the badasses of the instructor corps. So your dorm would get blown up because these guys have been doing it for, you know, 5 and 10 years. And, you know, they would destroy your whole entire dorm. Like, man, I can't understand. Like, I'm teaching them how to do it, but it's not the best way. What am I doing wrong? And my commander, a lieutenant colonel, walks up to my dorm and looks. He's like, man, I see what you're doing, but here's the problem. You're teaching to the test. What you're trying to do is you're trying to achieve those results, but you're not actually achieving them because you're not doing it the right way. The right way to do it is to live leadership. So if you actually live out what you're saying, people will follow you. You're trying to get this loyalty. You're trying to get this following from your flight, but they can see right through your crap. And so they're not actually doing what they're supposed to do. So he gave me this quote, and it's by Sun Tzu in the book of Art of War. And it says, regard your soldiers as your children, and they will follow you into the deepest valleys. Look on them as your only son, and they will follow you even unto death. So the next flight over, I'm like, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm just going to try this. So I gave it my all. My flight, I was like, every single ounce of knowledge, like, I'm giving them all the value. And what happened? We were one of the top-rated flights that flight in basic training. We graduated as one of the top flights. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. He's like, the ones that get warrior flight. Yeah, right? He says, the one that gets warrior flight, the one that gets the top-rated flight, are the ones who live their values. They're the ones who pour everything into that 8-week flight. And then they reset and they do it all over again. The ones who are just giving them enough to pass those tests, those guys are never going to succeed. I'm like, wow. So I stopped, quote, chasing numbers, right? Chasing money. And I just went and did as best that I could and the amount of excellence that I could. And literally I had back-to-back Warrior flights one time because I just gave it my all. So out of 10 flights, four of them were top-rated flights. And those four flights were at the tail end of my career. So before that, I was just chasing numbers.
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting because I think most leaders, at least the best leaders I've ever been around, is they realize that they do have to be their own best success story. They do have to be their own best case study. You know, they realize that the best way to lead their tribe or their team or their company or the people that look up to them is to be that statue-worthy type person, to be so big and so inspirational and so legendary, as Chris Lockhead would say.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that's not the reason why they lead. They do it to challenge people, to lead from the front, to make an impact, to serve, to help, to, you know, inspire people to step into the best version of themselves. And, you know, I remember I read this out of Seth Godin's book, Tribes. And one of the things that I remember what he said was leadership is so scarce because only a few people are willing to go through the discomfort required to lead day in and day out. And I was like, damn, that, you know, that kind of, that hit me. It stuck with me because the consistency and the discipline is the hardest freaking part about all of this, right? Like,
we can
tap into it when we're motivated and inspired to do it. But at the end of the day, when we're not that, we're not in that state, which is more times often than not, that's when you see the people who lack the discipline and the consistency and therefore that's not the true leadership that's required to make legendary dents in this world or to make legendary impact in people's lives. So that's, I mean, that's the hardest part for anybody, for me, for you, for whoever decides to live up in that space and try and be statue worthy on a daily basis.
True.
It's an ongoing challenge. And so that's a never ending, I think, battle, but there are ways of making it, you know, making it a lot more likely and a lot more easy for you to do it too.
Yep. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So as we wrap up, we're at the part of the show where we do a shameless plug. You can plug a friend, a quote, you can plug your quote, the websites, Facebook, your product, whatever you want to plug. This is your time to shine. Shameless plug moment. Go.
Well, I'm going to plug two things just because I'll make it fast.
Okay.
The Millionaire Mindcast, it's for anybody that wants to increase their income, impact, and influence in some area of their life. And we talk about wealth building, but everybody has a different definition of wealth. So taking wealth far beyond just dollars, but identifying what is your vehicle that you're going to create wealth in and how you're going to use it to make a bigger impact in the areas of your life and the areas of other people's lives that you care about. And that's on iTunes and all the, you know, normal platforms that any podcast is on. It's Millionaire Mindcast, all one word, Millionaire. And then Mindcast is one word. So you can, you know, check that out where I interview millionaires from all different kinds of industries, stages, parts of the world. And then on top of that, anybody that's interested in, you know, real estate investing, building wealth through real estate, they can check out the community, the course at the number 6figureflipper.com. Get more information there. And yeah, I love connecting with anybody and everybody that I can. So if you want to connect with me on Facebook or Instagram, look me up. Would love to say hi. You know, let me know how we connected, and it'd be awesome to have a good conversation.
Awesome. Are you going to the One Life in Sacramento?
That's my hood, man. That's my town. I will be there. I will be a longtime supporter of One Life Fully Lived, and I love Tim Rode. Speaking of mentors, my greatest mentors, and you know, he was in my wedding. One of my best friends. I love that guy. A big heart. So I will be there supporting. I'll be in SAC. There's going to be some amazing speakers. I know you'll be there. You'll be speaking. There's going to be a lot of cool stuff going on in SAC for that event. And the beautiful thing about that, you know, event and just organization in general, it's a nonprofit. So all the money goes back to empowering and impacting other people who need the resources and the tools that we don't often, you know, that they don't often have or even know about. So, absolutely. Yep. I will be there and I'll be looking forward to hanging out with you.
Awesome. Yeah. Tim Rode and I had a conversation in Philly and I really haven't told, too many, I think three people might know this, So Tim and I had a conversation in Philly, and I told him, I was like, man, a year later, because I literally wrote on the wall, like in Philly or in Westchester, you know, a year ago, this is what I'll do. This is what it was. And I was like, I mean, my heart welled up and I started getting all teared up. And I said, I want to, in a year, publish my book and get paid to speak. That was all I wrote, because I was kind of new to that type of atmosphere. Like, you can achieve your dreams. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know? So here I am a year later in Philly reading that. I'm like, dude, I did it. I did it. So I told Tim, I was like, dude, I actually did, man. I published my book, which got published a year ago in September, and I've been paid to speak multiple times. And before Westchester, I was like, this is my one last chance. Like, I'm just going to stop speaking. I'm speaking for free. I'm never getting paid. Like, this is ridiculous. You know, I'm never going to finish this book. Like, I had that block, man, that like entrepreneur block where you're like, this is too hard. I can't even do this. Why do I do this? This is stupid, you know? And you get one little breakthrough and you're like, oh, I'm right back down to the bottom. You're like, well, this sucks. I told Tim, yeah, I said, right. Dude, if you didn't have me come speak in Westchester and then again in Sacramento, man, I just would have gave up, man. I would have just not published my book and stopped speaking.
And that's why most people do, you know, if you think about it, that's why most people do, is because they aren't surrounded by a tribe of people or in an environment of people that actually believe in them. Because oftentimes, I'll tell you what, man, on this journey, if I didn't have some of the people in my corner that I had in my corner, you know, that day, if I didn't have that conversation with my dad in jail, I may have been on a completely different path in my life, a completely darker and, you know, more depressing path. Or same thing with a lot of the successes, right? There was many times in my journey where I've questioned, I call it my drunk monkey, that voice in our head that is, you know, that person sitting on our shoulder going, you can't do this. You know what? That's a little too dangerous, man. I don't know if I would take that risk. I don't know if you should stretch yourself like that, right? But that's the beauty of having a tribe, of having a mentor, of having people in your life, is when we don't believe in ourselves, they lend their belief in us to us at the most critical times. And just like what you said, it's a perfect example of that. You know, Tim giving you that opportunity, gifting you that belief that maybe you didn't have in that moment. So it's a great example that ties into how important a community, a tribe, and, you know, individuals can play in one's life.
Absolutely, man. OneLifeFullyLived.org. The number one, OneLifeFullyLived.org. The conference is October 21st, 22nd, Sacramento. You got to be there. It's amazing. Matty A will be there. So, brother, as we wrap up, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action?
Mastery. Mastery is really the key to everything. And the best way I can put it is go a mile deep and an inch wide. And if you're an entrepreneur, if you're someone who's looking to craft something in your life, and I remember Chris Lockhead said this to me. He said, my sensei has never told me to do 10,000 moves three times. My sensei has told me to do one move 10,000 times until I master it. And that applies to any principle or practice of your life, in business, in a relationship, anything that you want to get better in, anything that you truly desire to have in your life, you got to commit to that mastery. Have the black belt mentality and give it your all. Go a mile deep and an inch wide, become the master, and then go 2 inches wide, right? And continue band out from that. So whatever it is that you're working on, whatever it is that you want to improve in, go into it with the mindset of mastery. And I'll leave the last part of this with just trust in the process. And go into it with the crock pot mentality versus the microwave mindset, in the sense of, you know, the crock pot. I don't know about you, but when my wife makes something in the crock pot, it tastes a whole hell of a lot better than something that I can cook in the microwave for 5 minutes. I get it a whole lot faster in the microwave, but I'll tell you what, it's nowhere close to as good. So any aspect of your life, anything that's worth having, go into it with the crock pot mentality, trust in the process. Stay consistent, stay disciplined, make the small, smart, consistent choices on a daily basis. And I promise you, you will get what you are looking for.
Dude, I love that. Boo! What a great way to end the show, dude. I'm freaking pumped. I get shiny object, like the ADOS, you know what I mean? Attention deficit, O squirrel. Cause I want like all of this stuff. I want an online course and I want this book and I want this and I want to create all this stuff. And I have to remember, okay, focus, speaking, getting paid, radio show. That's my thing. And then maybe later do the online course and maybe come out with the but, you know, because there's so much thing we could be doing. We could be doing click funnels and this email list and this, like, there's so much to do, but I have to remember to focus on the things that I'm really super good at, outsource the things that I suck at so it doesn't eat up my time, and and just master, dude, self-mastery. Dude, I love that. Yeah. Dude, thank you so much for your time, brother.
Oh, dude, it has been my pleasure. It's been a great way to end my week, and you know, I just had fun connecting with you as always, man, so thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Always a pleasure to connect. So definitely go see Maddie A at the One Life Fully Lived Conference, October 21st, 22nd. Look up the website, number one, the onelifefullylived.org, and sign up for the thing, man. Dude, thank you so much, brother. We will talk to you very, very soon.
Sounds good, man. Cheers.
All right. Life Transformation Radio listeners, this has been another impactful episode with amazing guests impacting everyone around them. If anything resonated with you, go check out the Life Transformation Radio on iTunes, on Stitcher. Go check out the Millionaire Mindcast with Matt Aitchison. Go check out the SixFigureFlipper.com. Go to www.mattaitchison.com. The show notes, it all has the links. The Facebooks, connect with the dude. He is empowering, amazing. He's my brother, dude. Like, the guy is impactful. So go to www.mattaitchison.com. Go to One Life Fully Lived in Sacramento. Hook up with the dude, and he will blow your mind. So as we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the values that you hold deep inside your heart. I call that living your brand. And until next show, have a good night.